morning. I've heard it many times, and it says, all the earth will sing your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. I just love that where it says the bones, these bones will sing. And I think about the valley of dry dead bones, and he breathed his spirit into him. And you saw those bones come together and have life, life in them. Woo! Life. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I am pumped for what we're going to be going over today. If you haven't listened to last week's sermon, you need to, because we got to go into sequence with the armor of God. And we learned about the belt of truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We praise you for who you are. We thank you. We thank you for sending your Son, the ultimate sacrifice, the one and only for us. Have your will in your way today. Open our hearts to receive. Remove the clutter. Remove the distractions. Help us to grow exponentially today, right now, in Jesus' name. Use my lips to speak. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Accomplish your will and your purpose right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication with all for all saints. Sounds a lot like steadfastness. The belt of truth we talked about last week. And I asked you, did you guys tuck in the loose ends of your life this week? Was that in the mindset? Because the belt of truth, the truth, if you didn't listen to last week's sermon, I'll just give you a little quick snapshot. That belt of truth holds everything together. Just as the Roman soldier would tuck his robe in there, he'd tuck in the loose ends of his life to be ready for battle. And that truth is a commitment to the faith, the truth, the word of God. And we ended with studying to show thyself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. It's important that you get all of this together. You cannot go to battle with one piece of armor missing at all. Satan will find that crack and he will exploit it and he will take you down. I promise you that. You need to be prepared, a complete soldier, full in battle, in armor. Which leads us to the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So we're going to go back to the example of the Roman soldier to understand the breastplate. The breastplate was a central part of that Roman soldier's armor. It's a piece of protective armor to ward off the enemy's blows. The breastplate was generally made of iron, and it consisted of overlapping pieces of metal with connecting the front and back sections. There were rounded pieces usually protecting the shoulder, and the breastplate usually rested on the soldier's hips so the entire weight wasn't carried on the shoulders. Remember, they needed their arms and shoulders to not only wield the sword, but also hold the shield. And those shields were heavy too. The overlapping pieces of metal, though, allowed for more flexibility and movement. Just like putting on the belt of truth, you tucked in all the loose ends so that you were ready for battle and you had more flexibility. You were able to adapt and run and move. Most importantly, this piece of armor protected the vital organs of the soldier during the battle. Particularly, the breastplate defended and protected the heart. So the breastplate of righteousness defends one of the most crucial organs of the Christian's spiritual existence, the heart. With a sturdy breastplate, the attacks from the enemy on the heart and the vital organs become ineffective and useless, and the enemy's blows bounce off that armor. Why are we saying about the heart this morning? I was trying to prepare you guys. Actually, I wasn't. The Lord was trying to prepare you. So what is righteousness? Righteousness in the Greek is dikaiosune, the condition or way in which man may attain a state approved of God. Integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Psalms 117:172 says, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." 1 John 3:4 says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God." In essence, righteousness is doing what is right in God's eyes. It's living holy. Man's ways, his best ways, are nothing. Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Gives you a measurement of where man fits in the scheme of things. Our will, our way of things. However, there was one that was perfect. In Philippians 3:8-9, and we're going through scriptures every time we're talking here. Philippians 3:8-9, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, but I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." The only righteousness, the only true righteousness, is Jesus' righteousness. 1 John 2:29 says, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." You see, if you know Christ and his righteousness, then you know those who seek and do righteousness are of him. We are of him because we seek to do his righteousness. We seek to do his ways. We seek to keep his commandments. So why don't we live righteously? What stops us? What we've learned about already, the world system and Satan. Deception. He deceives you. You'll be mocked for living righteously. Therefore, you don't want to do it. The warring of the flesh. Remember, the world system and its goal is to work against the Christian and the purposes of God. That's Satan's goal. And the whole world lies in the power of his lap. Satan. You see, the opposite of righteousness is lawlessness. We just read that. Sin or unrighteousness. Living according to your own lusts and desires. To live unrighteous gives the devil and his demons the opportunity. The opportunity to block God's purposes in your life. So basically, unrighteousness or unholy living gives Satan access to you. Ephesians 4:25-32. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Another translation says, "Don't give the devil an opportunity. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give him, to him that needeth." So as we're reading these examples, it's presumed that these are sin, things that you do or don't do. So when you're not providing to one and providing those in need, when you're letting corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. So I guess my question to you just a second ago was, did you grieve the Spirit? Did you hinder the Spirit from flowing, from giving praise and worship to Him who deserves everything of you because of your own desire, selfishness, because of what others think about you? It's not about you. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Here we go. This is what I was trying to make reference. I did it really poorly, but let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So again, sin, lawlessness, gives Satan access to you to prevent you and block you from doing God's will and His purposes in your life. 1 John 3:7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. The world system and Satan uses the unredeemed man also to deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Deception is rampant today. There are men teaching in the pulpits today, it's okay to live in the world. God loves you. It's okay. You don't need to live righteously. There's no holy preaching of life. You don't need to live holy. You just said a prayer. That's it. That's all you needed. Now you're good. It doesn't work that way, folks. There's a process called sanctification that is ongoing until you receive that glorified body. As stated in Isaiah 64, the problem is God's standard is perfect. Man's is not. We are as filthy rags. Our righteousness, anything we do, the good deeds that we do mean nothing. In fact, you can do some of the same things that the Bible says to do that are of God. And if your heart is wrong and you are doing it for the wrong motive, it is wrong. You got to keep yourself in check always. So our standard is not perfect, but God's is. So what is the purpose of the breastplate then if God's standard is not realistic for man to achieve? The breastplate, as stated before, protects the heart. The heart is where spiritual life flows for the Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Heart. The heart. What's the job of the heart, Rosie? Exactly. It pumps blood through the body. She's a heart cardiac nurse. So if anybody, after you have donuts and sweets later on, have do a little checkup on you. If the heart stops beating, what happens? What happens to the body? The heart stops beating. The body dies, doesn't it? The heart pumps blood. It is your life source. The life source. You didn't hear me. The heart pumps the blood. Jesus' blood is our life source as a Christian. The heart pumps the blood, our life source. If the heart is not right, then it cannot send the blood to the other areas of your body to function. Your heart gives life to you, Christian. Your heart, the one that you exchanged, giving your heart to the Lord. This awesome thing happens. This miracle happens when you gave your heart to the Lord. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26-27. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit I put within you. That is a miracle. God's spirit put inside of you. And I will take away that stony heart. Think about where you were before Christ. And you have this process. Some of you I know very well. I know where you were pre-Christ. And I see you now. And you're starting to warm up to this idea of Jesus. always only Jesus. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. And what happens? And it causes you to walk in his statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Sounds a lot like righteousness, doesn't it? Why does it come up again? Ezekiel 11, 19 through 21. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. It appears again, it's almost like verbatim, isn't it? Must be important. And I will give them a heart of flesh, and that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. Not just recognize them, not just say them, do them. We're going to go there in a minute. You're going to hear about doing. And do them. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. One God. One God. Not multiple gods, not multiple ways to heaven. There is one God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of the detestable things, the unredeemed man, and their abominations, what happens? I will recompense their way upon their head, saith the Lord their God, to dumb it down or make it a little easier. I'm going to repay them fully for their sins, is what the New Living Translation says. I will repay them fully for their sins. God is a God of wrath. He's not just a God of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 28 through 30. Are you guys feeling this? I'm feeling it. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that which are despised hath God chosen. Let's just stop right there. Despised. You are despised by the world. You, Christian, are despised by the world. You are hated for his name's sake. You may not feel it all the time. Don't worry, things will heat up. And the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh, that is man, can glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So when you give your heart to the Lord, it's no longer you, but Christ in you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to you I freely give. That's why we were singing these songs today, guys. Didn't just pick those songs out of the blue. I text Brian earlier the week, said, hey, we're dealing with the heart. Pick songs about the heart. Your spirit is whole because you have Jesus' perfect righteousness inside of you. It's no longer about you. Jessica talked about the Holy Spirit and that power. She preached about that. You are directed by the Holy Spirit. He directs your paths. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Why are you acknowledging him in all your ways? In all your ways, that's to live righteously. Acknowledging him, acknowledging his word, acknowledging his truth. You glorify him in all you do. Your mission is directed by him, by the Holy Spirit. Your spirit gives you life and leads you. Where is the spirit? It's in your heart. Satan has control of the world system. He also has control of the false religions of this world. We talked about that when we talked about the world system. He uses his schemes to deceive you. You see, religion teaches you to change from the outside in. It actually teaches you to manage your sin. A lot of us come into church on Sunday and put on the face. I'm just as guilty as everyone here. We put on the face. We make it look like our best. Everything is good. There's nothing wrong. And we manage our sin. Just appearances. God knows the heart. So religion teaches you to change from the outside in, but the heart changes you from the inside out. The heart The heart which is covered by that breastplate of righteousness. The heart which is to pump life, pump God's righteousness and standard to your mind, your soul, which is the process of sanctification. That righteousness flows from the heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth, the loins of truth is in Jesus, the belt of truth, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. You put off the old man. You are a new creature, remember. The old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in what? What is it created in? It's created in righteousness and true holiness. How do I put on that breastplate of righteousness? We need to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth. You need to be doers of the word, our instruction, our way, which is his way, God's holy word, doers of his word, that truth, the loins of truth that have been girded up once we meditate and study. Then that righteousness can flow from the heart of our inner spirit man, our inner man. You can see why I was really excited about this. So Pastor Jeff says, be doers of the word. No. God says, be doers of the word. James chapter 1, 19 through 27. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Hallelujah. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is unlike unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, not God's way, his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, Jesus' righteousness, his truth, what sets you free? What does the scripture say? The truth shall set you free. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, not false religion, not the world system, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. What happened when you received Jesus? His blood washed you white as snow. Unspotted, folks. You are unspotted. You are a new creature. Now act like it. The heart. The heart needs to be sown truth. Matthew chapter 13, 18 through 22. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Satan. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with the joy he received it. Yet he had no root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arose because of the word, by and by he is offended, turned away from his first love. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And what happens then? The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke that word, and it becomes unfruitful. Take a look at out back. Those flowers that were planted, those weeds are choking the life of those flowers. But he that receives seed into the good ground, into the inner man, is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You see, some here today are going to hear truth and just forget about it. Truth. You're hearing truth right now. And you are just going to forget about it. Good sermon. You're going to leave today. You're not going to be a doer. Some of you will take it and receive it in your mind. You might think about it. And you might even process it for you analytical people. You might process it a little bit. But then something's going to happen during the week. Something at your job, something with your family, whatever. And it's going to choke that word out. It's going to choke that truth out. Because you didn't get it in the root. You didn't get it in the heart. You have to pound it in. Some of you will receive the truth today into your heart. And it's going to bring forth fruit. And it's going to change you, and it's going to change the people around you, your unsaved ones that you come in contact with, the ones you pray for every night. I hope you are. If you're not, you need to. Time is drawing to and near. And when you receive that truth into your heart, it brings forth fruit, and now it can transform your mind. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, prove what is acceptable, and be in the perfect will of God. Amen. You do this by driving the truth, God's word, down to your heart. Then the heart and spirit flow with righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness. The heart pumps Jesus' perfect righteousness, the blood source, his truth, and is that. And it is only that that can transform your soul and your mind. We want to be transformed. We don't want to just hear the word. We want to be doers of the word. We want to be found in him. God put his spirit in you. Live righteous. Walk according to the Holy Spirit, directing your path, your life, everything. Your life source depends upon it. Galatians 5:16 through 26. This I say then, walk in the spirit. And then what? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. The spirit and your flesh. One of our enemies, the flesh. We learned about this. This is all tied together. So you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. No condemnation here. Because I'm in the spirit. Amen. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's not an exhaustive list, folks. There's much more. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things, wow, this brings it down to reality. What does it say? They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. But the fruit of the Spirit is completely opposite. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When I walk in the Spirit, those are the things that come out of me. That's what happens when I live righteous. When I walk in and I have that breastplate of righteousness on, the Spirit, all those things we just said, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, it's all there. It comes out of me. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, how do we live in the Spirit? Be a doer of the word. How do you be a doer of the word? Study to show thyself approved. Drive that truth down. Drive it down. Seek Him, His will, His ways. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 15. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not here on earth, not temporal things, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Old King James. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. That is a promise to stand on. Dad is in glory. Hallelujah. We will see Him again. So what does it tell you? It seems like this list comes back again that we just read in Galatians. I love how the truth just kind of ties together. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuance, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Idolatry, right? Putting anything before God. There is one God. He is in heaven. His Son sitteth at the right hand, and the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. Don't put anything before Him. It doesn't have to be a God. Your money, your riches, your things, your possessions, all of that can be idolatry. A lover, a person, any of those things, your job. If you put that all before God, that is an idol. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That was in Ephesians chapter 2. You were formerly of the sons of disobedience. You remember that? The spirit of the son of disobedience, which Satan has control over. In which you also walked some time when you lived with them. But now you also put off all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. We talked about being the silversmith. Who is the silversmith? God is the silversmith. He purifies you and refines you and refines you so that He sees His reflection, His own reflection in you. And have put on the new man, which is renewed knowledge, after the image of Him that created him. I want to be like Jesus. When there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so you should. And above all these things, put on charity. Dad's last sermon. And above all these things, put on charity, love. It is the bond of perfectness. Perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. As we close, we should be praying what David prayed in Psalms about righteousness. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, for your salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Do you wait for him? Do you listen to him? Keep my soul. Deliver me. Let me be not ashamed. Let me be not ashamed of this truth. Let me be not ashamed of this truth. For I put my trust in thee and thee alone. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Amen. Preserve me till I breathe my last breath. Let me run the race until I breathe my last breath. Don't let me go back to the mud. For I wait on thee. The issues of life are actions, works, pursuits. It all proceeds from the heart. What we do in word and deed, what we choose to receive is a product of what and who we are on the inside. You gave your heart solely and truly to the Lord. You are now an active participant in His kingdom. You are now an active participant in this war that is here on earth, this spiritual battle that you are called. You have been drafted into His army. It is not an option or choice to turn back. You must press on. You must be steadfast. We are ambassadors of heaven. You are to demonstrate His love, walking in faith, trusting in Him, in holiness and righteousness, becoming sanctified, spreading His gospel, His directives, not your own. Ephesians chapter 4, 24 again, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So therefore, Christian, gird up your loins with truth and have on your breastplate of righteousness. Do not put it down. Do not take it off. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your truth. I thank you for setting it free, setting us free, that we may sing your praises all the days of our life, that we be committed to you, to your truth, Aletheia, be committed, have an attitude of your truth, your ways, not our own. To live in your righteousness, Jesus' perfect righteousness inside us. If our heart is not right, change it. Make us afresh, give us new life, give us a new heart. Help it to pump life to the rest of the body. Help it to pump life into those that are lost, that need you. We know the evil day is upon us, and men just get worse and worse. Oh, that we may be found in you, that none should perish. Help us to be a living light to this world. To be that city on a hill. Let us not be ashamed. Be with us as we go this week, Lord. Don't let the cares of this world choke out your truth that we learned today. Drive your word down to our heart, our inner man. Flow through us, touch through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.